Well, greetings everyone. Certainly nice to see our visitors today. And you're certainly welcome. We always consider you more than just visitors and guests and friends, of course. And we always enjoy having you here. This week, my wife and I shouldn't say just this week, every week, it seems like my wife and I have the opportunity of serving people in a wide variety of issues and situations. And we find that as life progresses, individuals have to make changes in their lives. And change is not always easy. I want to ask the question to you, how do you feel when you have to make a major change? How do you feel when you have to make a major change in your life? Now, you can answer that in a lot of different ways. You can answer it in a positive perspective, or you can answer it in a negative perspective. And either way, it's not wrong. And you can say, wait a minute, a negative is not wrong? No. Sometimes in life doesn't always give you the best of the best. We find that we have to deal with changes. And some of the emotions that we experience, and this is what God gives us. He gives us emotions. And some of our emotions can be crying. Some of our emotions can be fear, scared, lonely, lost. Interesting, lost. When we deal with individuals, sometimes I think they fall into some of these categories. We have a young girl that we serve, and her life is chaotic. Just total chaotic. She's 23 years old. And every time I talk to her, she has another boyfriend. Just seems like he's the one. God's providing for me. He's wonderful. He's a Christian. And he's just perfect. And yet, almost every time I talk to her, it's a new person. It's a new boyfriend. And her lost life is like in a lost state of condition, to experience. What kind of feelings do you have when you have to deal with changes? Are you scared when you have to make a change? Are you afraid of changes? We're all going to face changes in life. We're all going to experience changes. Some will be good and some will be bad. It's all a matter of how we deal with the changes. Changes can be unsettling, especially when you're not prepared for them. Changes can come when we least expect them. In situations in life. Give you some examples. Individuals sometimes have to make a career change. They suddenly find themselves unemployed. And they're going to say, what am I going to do? I've always done this. And I've experienced that myself. So I can sympathize with those who are going through an experience of suddenly career change. It's a frightful situation when you've done something most of your life and suddenly you find yourself unable to find work in that field. But I've always done that. I've always been able to do that. And now I can't find work. What am I going to do? Well, there are issues that we do find ourselves and we do question. How can I cope with that? Am I going to be a failure because of circumstances beyond my control? Well, I want to talk about some issues that we can deal with, things, some tips, if you want to use the term tips, to help us deal and cope with changes. Because changes are coming, brethren. Changes are coming in your life and in my life. And they're not always going to be easy. They're not always going to be pleasant. A lot of times they will be. A change in a job situation can be pleasant. It can also be unpleasant. Individuals may have to make some serious changes in life, such as education. You may find that you go on to college and suddenly the career that you thought you were going to go into isn't as exciting as the counselor told you it was going to be. I'll give you an example of that. I have a friend of mine who wanted to be an accountant. And he was all excited about going to college and he thought, well, wow, you know, I'm going to be an accountant. And he went to school, I think it was the first semester, and he said, this is horrible. I don't want to be an accountant. So he had to make changes. He had to make educational changes. What about situations like life in general? Marriage. Marriage is a big change. And when you think about it, are you prepared for marriage when you first get married? I would say probably a large percentage would say, I didn't know marriage was going to be like that. But that can be positive too, because it's a growing opportunity for the married couple to work together, work out problems and circumstances, and grow together spiritually. So life's changes are physical, and they are spiritual, and they are emotional. They fall into different categories: emotional, physical, and spiritual. To find the answers on how to cope with changes, we need to go to the Bible. That is what we need to do. We need to go to the Bible to find the answers and look at individuals. There are individuals in the Bible who have come up against tremendous changes in their lives. We're going to talk about some of these individuals this morning and perhaps this afternoon, depending on the time. And look at their lives, see how they handled these major changes in their lives. And I think we can learn some valuable lessons that we can apply in our lives and how we can deal with changes and cope with changes. One of the biggest individuals in the Bible that had to deal with life-threatening changes in this individual's life is Daniel. Daniel was probably a teenager when his world was turned upside down. Army conquering the nation of Judah came in and took him away, him and his three companions, and along with the nation of Judah. I think about it, a teenager suddenly finding his world turned upside down. He was living in one situation, and suddenly he was conquered by a conquering army, taking him far, far away from his native land. He had to deal with a wide variety of issues. What a tremendous earth-shaking change that would have been for him. But it didn't destroy Daniel. The conquering army was by King Nebuchadnezzar, who was from Babylon. And he made changes too in his life. You remember, God came to him and changed him physically. He ended up like an animal, eating grass. So even the king that overcame and took Judah, he too found physical changes in his life. But I want to emphasize Daniel, because Daniel was a very wise man. Even though he was a teenager at this time, when he was conquered and taken away, he had a lot of wisdom. And how did he have that wisdom? It was through God. God gave him that wisdom, gave him the ability to face the various circumstances. Let's look at Daniel 1. Daniel chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 5. Here again, Daniel was taken captive. He was brought before the king. It's interesting. Daniel found favor in the eyes of Nebuchadnezzar. And that's, again, a blessing from God, that he found favor, because he could have easily been a slave. He could have easily been put in a situation where his life might have even been taken. A lot of times when a nation overtakes another nation, they take the best of the individuals and they work with them, but sometimes they kill them because they consider them a threat. And they don't want individuals that are a threat to their nation. So a lot of times they kill these individuals. But in this situation, the king found favor with Daniel. And so, because the king was pleased with, David and Daniel a lot of times in my thoughts, because I really respect both individuals and their lives and what they've accomplished in their lives. But Daniel found favor in the eyes of the king. And we'll look at and what he did. The king took Daniel and his three companions And he gave him a tremendous opportunity. Now here he was taken captive, a very negative situation, an earth-changing change for him. And suddenly he was given a unique opportunity. It says in verse 5, and the king appointed them the daily provisions of the king's meat. So the king was so pleased that he wanted to bring them into his palace and provide daily provisions. Whereas the others were enslaved and they were put in various other conditions. And notice it says, and gave the king's meat and wine, which he drank. So nourishing them for 3 years he did this. 3 years. And not only did he give them nourishment of food and drink, but he also gave them education. A tremendous education. One that would be used, that Daniel would be used in the opportunity of serving their people. His people. Now again, in that situation, we're going to drop down here a little bit. We're going to look at, it said the king interviewed them, and among them, of course, he found wisdom among the men. Daniel and his three companions. And so they were given responsibilities of studying and educating themselves in a variety of issues. And it's pretty neat how Daniel faced the challenge. Now Daniel could have, when he was taken captive, could have gave up. He could have said, oh, my life's ruined. I'm a slave now. I'm going to be destroyed, possibly taken into who knows where. But he didn't. He didn't allow that to destroy him. Rather, Daniel trusted in God. He trusted in God where he prayed to God and was able to use that strength that God gave him, the wisdom that I mentioned that God gave him, to become one of the leaders in that nation. One of the leaders. Isn't that interesting? To become a captive slave, if you want to term it from the very beginning. He was taken captive as a slave. And he became a ruler. Now, we can think about other individuals that fell in the same category. But Daniel would pray 3 times a day. And that's where he got his strength. And that's where he got his wisdom. And that's where he became wise to the point where the king noticed it. The king, it wasn't just God gave him wisdom and he kept it secretly. He was able to interpret dreams, which Nebuchadnezzar eventually asked him to help him interpret a dream. So you can see, God used this in a very positive light. Even though it was a negative change, a sudden change for Daniel and his companions, but it was a very positive situation. God made it work out to be very, very positive. Daniel's example shows that we need to trust in God also whenever we face a variety of changes in our lives. Now they can be simple changes. I mentioned about family life. Suddenly a child is born. What a dramatic change it is for a parent to experience a child. That's a life-changing experience, and it's a very positive one. It's an honor and it's a privilege to be a parent. And to be able to raise a child from an infant all the way up to a young adult and see them grow and experience and teach them and instruct them. So that's a change in our lives, each and every one of us who are parents. It's a wonderful change. But we need to trust in God that all things will work out, even when they look their darkest. Remember Daniel was put in the lion's den? He knew that God could save him, but he also knew that if God chose to take his life, he was willing to accept that. He wasn't going to compromise. When the king said that no one could pray other than to the king, and Daniel went in his home, and he allowed the windows to be open, remember, and the spies were watching. It's interesting, spies. We have spies among us wherever we are. Our nation is filled with spies that watch and observe and report back to various individuals. And that's what happened in Daniel's situation. Spies were watching him, waiting for an opportunity to destroy Daniel. But again, God worked it all out. Daniel trusted in God. And if his life would have been taken, he would have accepted that. But God, out of his mercy and love and compassion for Daniel, spared Daniel. He shut the mouths of the lions. And of course, then the lions were filled later with other individuals. But Daniel was spared. So again, trusting in God that all things will work out, even in negative circumstances. Things that we don't understand. Why did God put me through this? Why am I dealing with this? Sometimes we question God. We ask, this change, why do I have to change this? Change is not easy. And I don't want to imply that it's just like a snap of the finger that changes will happen. Sometimes changes are long term. It's not always easy dealing with health conditions. I think one of the hardest things for me to deal with is watching older people age. Dealing with health conditions, we do deal with individuals who have serious health conditions, Linda and I. And it's hard to watch these individuals knowing that their lives are changing. It's not always for the good. And it's a long-term change for them. But understanding the plan of God, understanding that God's going to change us from physical to spiritual, should be very encouraging. I'm not trying to say it's going to be easy. Living a Christian life is not easy. You're going to be challenged in all kinds of aspects, and your life's going to be changed dramatically in many, many different ways. But the key is, and the emphasis is, you've got to remain faithful. You've got to trust in God to see you through all the changes. So when I deal with older individuals, and like Tom was saying, Mr. Grove, I've known Mr. Grove as well as a teenager growing up and into my 20s, coming into the church. I have a lot of admiration for the family and for Mr. Grove. And I can take comfort now that he's not suffering anymore. But it's hard. To see him go through what he went through is a tough change for him. He was a very vibrant man. I enjoyed talking with him, like Tom said, many Sabbaths when we attended in Harrisburg to spend time with him. And then suddenly, with health issues, and as he aged, he found himself dealing with some tough changes. Changes that changed his life dramatically, limited him. And as we age, brethren, and we're all going to age, we're all going to find ourselves in all kinds of conditions. 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, changes have happened in each and every one of our lives. Some for the good, like I say, we've gained wonderful opportunities, and some are tough. One of my greatest joys in life was to be able to play sports. And I still dabble. I use the word dabble now because I'm not fully into it anymore, although my mind is there. My heart's there, but my body's not. As we age, brethren, we're going to find ourselves limited. We're not going to be able to do the things we like to do. And that's not always bad. That just means we got to make changes. We got to find ourselves making changes. And as we make these changes, we can look at these individuals. Joseph. Remember Joseph in the Bible? Joseph, I find it very interesting. The youngest of the brothers, and it was the brothers who sold him into slavery. Your own flesh and blood sells you into slavery. What a tremendous life-changing event that went through. So he's dragged down to Egypt, Joseph, as a prisoner and a slave. His life was exciting at home. He was dreaming dreams. He was having all kinds of exciting things. He was trying to tell his brothers about these wonderful dreams, and suddenly it changed, turned against him. He gets taken into captivity. And I get a chuckle every time I read about Joseph, because we used to do Bible baseball when our children were small. They remember that, Valerie. And one of the questions I asked Jeremy was, who took Joseph into slavery? And he answered, the Mennonites. Now, we have Mennonites all around us, and I chuckle every time I think about that. No, it wasn't the Mennonites that took Joseph into slavery down into Egypt. The Mennonites, but not the Mennonites. But I get a chuckle every time I think about Joseph, because some of the answers, another one that I enjoy, we said, who was the husband of Mary? And they said, Dennis. In Bible baseball. But that brings back a lot of good memories. But Joseph was another individual whose life was turned upside down. He was having a wonderful life. His father was, unfortunately, was spoiling him. Giving him a coat of many colors. But he ended up taken to Egypt as a prisoner and slave. Now, Again, he could have looked at this as, oh no, my life's ruined. You know, I'm far, far away from my family, and my family turned on me. They turned on me. They sold me into slavery. He could have been bitter about it. He could have been horrified by it all. But you know, God again worked in the lives of Joseph with hard work, and it wasn't easy. Joseph was in prison for quite a while. It wasn't looking like it was going to turn around. Even when he encouraged the individual, the butler, remember me when you go before the king, remember me. And the butler forgot him. So he's probably thinking, my family forsakes me, the butler forsakes me, here I am in prison. Joseph gets promoted. The keeper of the guard is favoring him, so he gets all kinds of blessings. But what happens in the end? He becomes second in command of Pharaoh. Second in command of Pharaoh. He goes from a low, piteous condition, a change of woe is me, if you want to term it that, because most people would look at it as woe is me, my wife's ruined, my life's just ruined, to second in command, rulership of Egypt. Wow. Amazing. Over the whole nation. And God used it as a blessing because of the famine. Remember the famine? Joseph was able to store the grains and get them through the 7 years of famine. How about Ruth? Ruth is another example. Now, when I think about Ruth, of course, we realize she's the ancestry to David and, of course, Jesus Christ. But Ruth is a remarkable woman. Ruth had the opportunity to go back to her country when her husband died and Naomi was going to go back home. But notice, Ruth, out of an emotional, physical desire to cling closely to Naomi, she said, your God will be my God. Remember that? Your people will be my people. And she clung to her mother-in-law and left her people. She left her native Moabites. She left her homeland behind. Again, a major change for Ruth. The book of Ruth shows that God blessed her tremendously as we read the book of Ruth. And again, another wonderful example of Ruth. Joshua, another example. I have a tremendous respect for Joshua. I want you to picture yourself. Moses is suddenly gone. He's died. God took Moses away. And Joseph is next in command. What a tremendous responsibility Joshua was given. He was told to take the people into the promised land. Now, because of rebellion of ancient Israel, and it had to be frustrating for Moses as well as Joshua, who was in the responsibility, the leaders, all of them died except Joshua and Caleb, because the report that he brought back, remember the spies and the reports and of the spies, only Joshua and Caleb gave a positive report. The rest of them gave, oh, there's giants in the land, they're going to destroy us, it's just terrible. And then, of course, of the rebellion and all the other circumstances surrounding ancient Israel. So Joshua was given the responsibility to take the Israelites to the promised land. He needed encouragement. He needed guidance. Let's look at Joshua. Joshua. And we'll look at verse 1. Chapter 1, I'm sorry, chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, we'll look at verse 5. It says, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Again, Joshua had a tremendous responsibility. He was going to take the role of Moses. How do you feel an individual of Moses' stature? Think about that. Moses was a tremendous example for Joshua and for the people. And yet, Suddenly Joshua was now given the responsibility of taking the people to the promised land. But notice it says, so will I be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. And his first six is the one that I always find encouraging. It says, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land. And so God was telling him, be strong, Joshua. Have courage. You can do it, in other words. Which I swore unto their fathers to give. God was going to give it to them. And again in verse 10, only be you strong. So encouraging words from God. Now this was changing for Joshua. Joshua was suddenly finding himself in command. And he probably questioned, because he emphasized throughout this scriptures in chapter 1 and in various other parts of the book, Joshua, be strong. Have courage. You can do it. I trust in you. I know you can do it. And that's the same for us. When we face changes in our lives, we have to be strong. We have to be courage, have courage, and be able to face changes in our lives. It's a wonderful opportunity, brethren, for each and every one of us. So we look at examples. We've looked at Daniel, we looked at Joseph, and we looked at Ruth, and of course Joshua now. And we're saying, what was it that gave them the ability to do that? Well, let's look at a few tips. Let's look at a few things that we can, transitional tips, that will help us to be able to face any change in our lives. The very first one I want to refer to is make time for prayer. Make time for prayer. Now that seems obvious. We all pray on a daily basis, but sometimes when we face a challenge or a change, because you can look at it as a challenge. A change can be a challenge. It can be an exciting opportunity, but it also can be very challenging emotionally and physically and spiritually. We need to make time for prayer. It takes effort to go to God and explain to Him how you feel when you're dealing with changes. Sometimes we hold changes, emotional feelings inside ourselves, and we don't express them. Well, prayer is the wonderful opportunity to express our feelings. Now, some individuals express it in a wide range of ways. Some cry when they're dealing with changes, and prayer can be a time of crying. David is a wonderful example in the book of Psalms. He cried out to the Lord. Now, I don't think he just cried out in the voice. I think he physically, emotionally had tears. I believe that. And the Bible says Jesus wept at times. So I think the emotion of tears or crying out is one from God. And it's okay to express yourself with tears. We live in a society that they try to make men so strong. You can't cry. You can't show emotions. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not true. God gave us emotions, and it's okay to cry when we need to cry. And prayer is a wonderful time for crying out to God and asking Him for help when we're facing challenges and changes. Challenges and changes are in a wide variety. Sickness is one of the biggest challenges, I think, when we pray for individuals. We know individuals who are sick. And recently hearing about my brother and dealing with his cancer, I have to acknowledge, I cried. It was an emotional time. My brother and I were never really close because his personality and my personality clashed. But I love my brother, even though we were extremely different. And to see him dealing with conditions of emotions, he cries too. He cries for me, and I cry for him now, knowing that we both have to deal with his condition in a way that we can go to God and ask for healing according to God's will. Will he? I don't know. Only God will answer that in time. He's going through chemo right now. It is physically draining. It ruins the immune system. It destroys it. And so I pray for him that he's able to keep his strength, because when your immune system's weak, your whole body breaks down. And eventually, many people don't die of cancer. Even though they have cancer, they die of pneumonia, other health conditions, kidney failure, other conditions that just kind of takes the life. And so we can cry out in prayer for individuals we know personally. And one thing about prayer, it gives us the strength to go on, to face whatever trial and change we have to make in life. Again, life's not easy. God never said it would be easy, but it is a wonderful life, brethren, to know God's truth, to know the kingdom of God is coming, to know the plan of God, to be able to keep God's Sabbath and holy days, to be able to understand clean and unclean meats that can help us physically and health-wise, to understand what God has for mankind. And we can pray to God and thank Him for that. I'm going to refer to a lot of different scriptures when it comes to making time for prayer. That's our number one priority, is making time for prayer. And that is what's going to help us face any changes. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians. Every time I read 1 Thessalonians, I get kind of a chuckle with that too. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. It says here, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Mentally. Okay, I think the emphasis is praying without ceasing. Praying always, as some have also emphasized. Praying always. You can't pray always. You can't pray without ceasing. You have to take time out to eat. You have to take time out to sleep. But you know, mentally, you can pray by meditating and thinking in whatever state or condition you are in. And so in one sense, that is praying without ceasing. And that is praying always. When you're meditating and thinking thoughts, you can do silent prayers. But more importantly, you do have to set time aside for prayer. Private time in your private home. And so it's very important that you get down on your knees and pray and ask God for help in facing all the challenges. The book of Psalms is a wonderful book to read when you want to talk about prayer. And I remember as a teenager, that was one of the books I used to refer to almost consistently growing up, because I found so much strength in the books of Psalms and Proverbs to be able to help me as I was facing my teenage years and losing friendships. By coming into the church, you're going to find you're going to lose friendships, but you're going to gain a lot of new friendships as well. And so the book of Psalms, let's look at Psalm 57. And we'll look at verse 2. Psalm 57 and verse 2. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performs all things for me. Now again, I feel that David cried. Some people say, nah, he was just crying out in his voice. No, I really feel he cried out to God and he expressed his mind. David is a wonderful example of expressing of emotions. I mean, when you read the book of Psalms, it's amazing how he was able to communicate with God on a level as close as he was to God. And you can understand why David was a man after God's own heart. He had a wonderful relationship of crying out to God, it says, to the Most High God that performed all things for him. And God heard David. And God was with David. Even when David made stupid mistakes, he made some real blunders in life. And we do too. And that's life-changing when we make blunders and we make mistakes. We learn from our mistakes, and God is still with us even when we do stupid, stupid mistakes. God's still with us. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't cast us aside. You say, I can't deal with you no more. No, God doesn't forsake us. We forsake ourselves sometimes. We turn away from God, and we do stupid things. And in the process, we make changes in our lives. But brethren, God never forsakes us. And we can always cry out in prayer. Anytime we do things and make mistakes and make changes, sometimes we try to force changes. We try to do it our way. I use the term, it's my way or the highway. And that's a true statement. Many people's attitudes is, it's my way or the highway. Get out of here. If you're not going to do it my way, get out of here. I don't want to deal with you. But, you know, sometimes we have to humble ourselves and come to the realization, you know, I made a mistake. I did something stupid. And in the process, apologize to individuals and cry out to God. Cry out to God and say, God, I made a mistake. I did something stupid. And God's going to hear us, just like you heard David in his prayers to him. He'll hear us as well. And I think that's tremendously encouraging when we read the book of Psalms and how David made so many blunderous mistakes. I mean, some earth-changing mistakes that he made. And yet he was a man after God's own heart. God stayed with him all through the mistakes he made, and he encouraged him. God encouraged him and gave him strength to endure. Let's look at Psalm 61. Psalm 61, we'll look at verse 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. So again, David's crying out to God and says, hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto you. So David, when he did make a mistake, he did go to God and he searched God. And he knew that God could have turned away from him. So he says, to the ends of the earth will I cry unto you. So David had strength, he had courage, he had desire to cry out to God. When my heart is overwhelmed, and sometimes, brethren, our hearts get overwhelmed with changes that we have to face on a lifetime of changes. It can overwhelm us. Our heart can be heavy when we know individuals are suffering and hurting. We need to cry out to God for these individuals and pray. And when we ourselves are making changes in our lives and we're dealing with issues, it's not easy. But the comforting thing is we have God. We have God on our side. We have someone we can talk to. And that's one of the things I want to talk about is about other sources. But God is our number one source. God is the number one source that we can cry out to and express how our hearts are overwhelmed at times. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, it says. And so we can be encouraged. Let's look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the largest book in the Bible, but we're going to look at verse 58. You can look at all kinds of scriptures here in Psalm 119. There's tremendous encouraging words. Psalm 119, and we'll look at verse 58. I entreat your favor with my whole heart. You notice David emphasized with my whole heart. Some people feel when they go to prayer, it's just a matter of a format that you go through. But brethren, it's talking and expressing with your whole heart. He says here, be merciful unto me according to your word. And so again, we have to ask God sometimes for mercy when we make stupid mistakes and do things that perhaps we shouldn't have. And even thoughts. We may do things privately to ourselves that doesn't hurt others, but it hurts ourselves. And so we ask God for mercy sometimes according to His Word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto your testimonies. So it helps us to turn it around. It helps us to change and make changes. So change within a change. Interesting how that can happen. Change within a change. Psalm 130. Let's look at one more in Psalm 130. In verses 1 and 2. I'm stuck on verse 1 and 2 for some reason today. A lot of them are verse 1 and 2. But Psalms 130 verses 1 and 2. It says, out of the depths have I cried unto you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. So again, David, who was a man after God's own heart, cried out, hear my prayers. Hear my voice. Let your ears listen to me. Be attentive to the voice of my supplications. And so, brethren, I want to encourage every one of you, whenever you're dealing with changes, and some of them are positive. Some of them are very, very positive. Marriage is a wonderful change. Having a child is a wonderful change. Change of job can be a wonderful change. And I'll give you experience of that myself. I've had good employers and I've had bad employers. And when you have a bad employer, you're ready for a change. You're ready to move on to something else. And so change can be good. It can be very positive. Praying, sleeping, eating, exercise at regular times is very, very important. We have to do all these physical things. But prayer is very, very number one on the list. And it can help you feel control with your life. When you feel your life is totally out of control, go to God in prayer and ask Him to help you put your life back in order. I mentioned about situations that we struggle with. But number one, prayer is vitally important. And that will get us through any changes that we have to make. A second area that we need to look to is strengthening our foundation. Now, strengthening our foundation is through the Word of God. That's the only foundation we want to build upon. All other foundations can be built upon, but our real important foundation to build upon is our relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. And we do that through the prayer. So that's the foundational. We build it upon the prayer. So we need to strengthen our foundation when we find ourselves dealing with changes. Because sometimes changes can take us away from God. It can turn us away from God and have us go in the opposite direction. I know of individuals who got caught up in a variety of issues and changes, and it took them out of the church of God. And that's sad. Many individuals have gone back to the ways of the world and followed back into traditions and a variety of other issues. But brethren, we need to strengthen our foundation through the Word of God and study and pray and use the life of Jesus Christ as our foundation. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to look at verse 11. Talk about foundation of Jesus Christ here, and this is exactly what we want to do. It says, "For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." That is our foundation, brethren. Christ laid down the foundation for us, and we can build upon it. Now it says, "Now if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones." Now these are all physical things here. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, they're all going to fade away. Well, our foundation is the kingdom of God and God's word. And that is what we build our foundation on. Knowing that God's kingdom is coming, we must develop godly character in order to be in God's kingdom. And so we need to lay our foundation on God. And when we face trials and we face changes in our lives, we need to stick to the word of God and hold on to it. To strengthen our foundation. Don't let changes destroy you. Don't let changes turn you away from God. Don't ever give in to the ways of the world. That's how Satan wins the battle. He wins the war. He'll come at you from all angles. And I've always said this before, and I'll say it again. I'll probably say it till the day I die. Satan has an advantage. He knows your weaknesses. He knows where you are weak. And he will attack you at your weak point, not your strength. He's not going to come at you from your strength. He knows he can't win the battle if you have a strong foundation. But he's going to attack you at your weak point. And he's kind of like a blind boxer in some ways. You're punching away. You can't see Satan. And you're trying to resist and fight. But he hits you from behind. He knocks you down when you're weak. And he continues to attack you until he feels he won the battle. Well, brethren, we don't have to lose the battle. If our foundation is strong and we strengthen our foundation through Jesus Christ, we can face anything. We can face anything of the changes in life, even the tough changes that we have to make in life. It's hard to see, like I said, aging process. That's probably one of the toughest challenges we're all going to face, aging. But you know, we can age gracefully. We can all age gracefully according to God's will and face whatever we have to face through the foundation that Jesus Christ sets for us. Christ told us that he would be with us no matter what. Let's look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We'll look at verse 47. Again, here's a foundational scripture that encourages us. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. So again, Christ is telling us, whoever comes to me, hears my sayings, which are the words of God, and do them. Okay? Many are hearers, but not everybody is a doer. We have to learn to be not only just hearers, but we also have to be doers. He says, I will show you whom he is like. Verse 48, he is like a man who builds a house and digs deep and lays the foundation. The word of God is our foundation. On a rock, it says. And when the floods arose and the stream beats violently against the house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. Well, brethren, the changes are the floods. The changes are the tests of our character that we will face sometimes. And we can be strong, our foundation can be strong, that when changes come, that's going to test us. And there'll be changes in the future that will happen. The mark of the beast is coming, whether it be in our generation or the next generation or the generation after that. That's going to be a challenge, change in society. This whole world's going to be turned upside down. And there's going to test our character. It's going to test, are we willing to be different? Are we willing to stand up against the beast power that's going to be in effect? Are we going to compromise and give in and allow ourselves to be part of the system? Again, I mentioned it's not always going to be easy. The times ahead will be hard. But brethren, God is with us. God is for us. He knows we can endure all things by the strength of our foundation. He sets the example for each and every one of us. And we can be strong, brethren. We can face the trials. No matter what they are and the changes that are coming in the society around us. God is our strength and our rock which we build upon. And we need to hold on and strengthen our foundation. We're living in very peaceful times in one sense, and yes, very violent times in another sense. As we read about in the paper, the horrible things that are taking place in the world. And yet we live in a relatively peaceful community. Things are relatively calm. On a variety of issues. This is the time we build our strength, our foundation, during peaceful times. They will be challenged during violent times. Our character will be challenged. That's when God will see, are we willing to build a foundation now to be able to resist the future, the challenges that and the changes we face in the future? Are we willing to enjoy the times that we're living in, and eat and drink and be merry? For tomorrow we die, it says. Well, if we wait to build our foundation when we suddenly find ourselves in violent times, we may find ourselves, our house collapsing. Maybe it won't be as strong as we thought we were. We need to build our foundation now. Now is the time to strengthen and rely and trust in God to build our foundation. And no matter what the circumstances, whatever changes we face, we'll be able to endure. So our second emphasis is strengthen your foundation now, brethren. Don't wait till it's too late. Remember about the virgins, the 10 virgins? 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish, 5 waited, and they were running out of oil. Well, we don't want to wait, brethren. We want to build our foundation now, and so that we will be strong when Christ returns and when we do have to deal with changes. Another area, I talked about prayer and our relationship with God. That's our number one priority. But sometimes we need somebody physically to talk to. Do you ever feel that at times? You know, we can go to God and pray in God, and we can study God's Word and understand what God's telling us through His Word. But sometimes you just need somebody to talk to. Stay in touch with your family, brethren, is the point that I want to emphasize. Stay in touch with your family. Your family is another strong opportunity to help you face changes. When you're dealing with difficult situations, and one of the biggest challenges I find for our young people is because of job opportunities, we find many are moving away. I see that in the Mennonite community, and I'm just going to bring this point out because it's kind of sad to me. I see all these young Mennonites, and I work with a lot of Mennonites, and we develop a closeness and a friendship, and suddenly they're moving away. They're going to New York, they're going to Ohio, they're going to Maryland. The big settlement right now that is exciting to everyone is New York, but there's also one in Michigan, Minnesota, and they're moving away from their families, their strength that they had, and they're going out on their own, and that's a change, brethren, that's a change for them. And that many of us face changes where we have to move away. We can't be close to our families. Going to college. I remember individuals moving away and going to college. Moving away from their family. Sometimes when they go away from the family, what happens is they lose the closeness. They don't correspond whenever problems come up, whenever changes come up. And they trust sometimes in making decisions themselves. And that's where sometimes if we stayed in touch with the family, even if you're far, far away, brethren, even if you're thousands of miles away, you can still stay in touch with the family. That is our strength. That is one of our sources that we can help in facing. I think parents make mistakes. And I'll be one of the first to acknowledge I've made mistakes in child rearing. But it's so important for children to keep in touch with your parents. Parents, to keep in touch with your children. Grandchildren, keep in touch with your parents and with your grandparents. Build a strong family tie. That will help you in facing changes to be able to get through. Even when things aren't going well in the family. And there are families that are split. Families that have terrible, terrible relationships. Now's the time to patch up relationships. You don't have to wait for the Passover to straighten up relationships that come up throughout the year. You can do it anytime there's a breakdown in relationships. Go to family members. Stay in touch with family members and use that strength. That's a wonderful strength that each and every one of us has, having family members to strengthen us, to face changes and challenges that we have to go through. Now's a good time to patch up your relationship if you have a struggling relationship. And many of us have struggling relationships with family members. Sometimes we have disagreements and we don't always see eye to eye. And that's why it's so important to patch up those relationships. When there are situations that possibly can destroy family, we need to, as Christians, we are expected. God expects us to have fellowship with one another and have love for one another. And if we don't have love for one another to the point where it separates families and separates relationships, we're missing Christ's emphasis of keeping the commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. We're all supposed to love one another. And if we don't have love for one another, we won't stay close as a family. We'll slowly drift apart, and individuals will go their way, and other individuals will go their way, and you lose the valuable opportunity that God gives us. We are very blessed here. Not only do we have a physical family, but we have a spiritual family here that can strengthen and help each and every one of us as we face challenges. Brethren, stay in touch with each other. Don't let relationships fall apart. I can look back on friendships that fell apart, and I feel bad about that because I think I should have been closer to individuals. I should have let individuals not drift apart and drift away. And so I want to encourage you, stay in touch not only with your physical family, but with your spiritual family. And continue to make that a strength. And draw upon that strength. When you're facing a change or a challenge, get someone else's opinion. Get their insight. Because we look at things from a narrow vision. I know I do. I look at things like, okay, this is the way, walk you in it, or this is what I need to do. and I look straight ahead and I'm moving forward. Maybe there is a better way. Maybe there's something that I'm missing. And family members can help you with that. Now, family members, be positive. Don't attack. It's easy to see the faults of someone else and come and attack. But rather, I want to encourage each other to help each other face changes and face challenges. Another area, and this is outside the family. I talked about our spiritual family, but sometimes we have friendships outside the church. And that's not a bad thing, because they give you a whole different perspective. We're very, very blessed, Linda and I, to have some close friendships outside of the Church of God. And some of those friendships can be challenging. When you get close to people and you build friendships and relationships, sometimes they can be troubling. When you see somebody's making a mistake or doing things the wrong way, and you want to help them and you want to encourage them and stir up one another to love and good works, it can be a tremendous challenge. But it also is encouraging, because when you talk to individuals and encourage one another, a lot of times it comes back as a blessing. You develop a close friendship, a relationship, and most importantly, you become good friends. And I find that very, very encouraging. So sometimes you need to build strong friendships even outside the church. And that's not saying you want to do what they do. You know, there is a separational point. We understand that. You have to walk according to what God is teaching us to do. We can't go contrary. If a friend tries to pull us away, we say, no, I can't do that. We understand. But we can still be friends with individuals in the world. And sometimes our example and showing that we're not willing to change, that we are firm in our beliefs, it changes them, which I find it pretty neat. It changes individuals who may be making a mistake. I'll give you an example. There is an individual that I grew up as a friend. Now, this was back when I was a teenager. And, of course, I was just coming into the church at the time, and I tried to convert him. And I should have knew better, but he was one of my best friends, and I wanted him to come into the church, and I thought he had some kind of a spiritual relationship with God, and I found out later he didn't. And so I was a little discouraged, because he kept wanting me to go his way. He kept saying, come on, Bob, we can do these things. Nobody will know. I said, no, I can't do that. And so sometimes we'll have friends that will try to pull us away. But sometimes it comes full circle. This one friend of mine, now he's not in the Church of God, but he's growing in grace and knowledge. This individual, and I had seen him several years ago. We were at the shopping mall. I think I told this story before. He comes up, Zig, he says, I found God. I want to pray for us. He said, I want to pray. I said, oh, that's great. Go ahead and pray at home. No, we'll pray right here in the mall. We're going to pray right here in the mall. I said, no, just go home and pray. He got down on his hands and knees and started praying in the mall. Well, it was a very embarrassing situation. But see, he told me my example of not turning away and doing the things that he wanted me to be involved in caused him to find God. And he was so excited, he was the other extreme. He wanted to pray in the middle of the mall, and he did. He prayed in the middle of the mall. So we never know how our lives are going to affect other lives. And that was a good friend, and he was outside the church. I haven't corresponded with him. He kind of moved away. Kind of lost touch base where he is, but it was encouraging to me to know that perhaps he did find God in one form or another, and he was encouraging to me, saying that, you know, my example of not following and going him and doing the things that I shouldn't have been doing made him think about it and change his life. So building strong friendships, even in the church and outside the church, is okay, but don't let the friends of the world pull you away. Be an example for individuals that you come in contact with, that you build friendships with, and let them set the example. Let's look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. We'll look at verse 24 and verse 25. I bring this point out because it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together in the manner that some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Now we can look at this day, the day approaching, in a lot of different ways, because every day we approach in reference to changes. And I mentioned about the days ahead are going to be challenging. They're going to be challenging. There'll be a lot of changes that we're going to be facing. But brethren, we need to encourage one another, to encourage individuals that we know both in the church and out of the church. Individuals know that there's a God. That's not a question for some individuals. They just don't always know the plan of God, what God is planning. And sometimes when you talk to individuals, Linda has the opportunity to talking with various individuals as well, and she can tell you about different stories that she's experienced. Individuals are looking for encouragement to help. And that is what we're supposed to do. We need to encourage one another to grow, to receive understanding from God's word, and to help others in any way we possibly can, in whatever manner. You're going to meet people that you're going to have to pray for, that you don't even know. Individuals that, when they announce prayer requests for individuals that are sick and are dealing with extremely adverse conditions, and of course we hear just about every week of somebody who's in a serious health condition, as Tom was mentioning, his father. Let's not cast that aside. That's a unique opportunity for each and every one of us, brethren. Each and every one of us can pray for individuals that not only we know, but individuals we don't know. When we read in the paper, and this gets me personally, I'm being a little bit more personal today, just because this subject kind of feeds into it. I read sometimes in the paper about situations in the world, and it's horrible out there. Some of the things that happen in the world are just terrible. And we need to pray for families that are suffering and hurting and dealing with adverse conditions. Their world is changed. Their world is a horrible world out there for many people. And they need our prayers. Individuals we don't even know, we need to pray for and we need to seek out. Now you can turn to Proverbs 18, and that's what I want to emphasize here. Proverbs 18. Verse 24. In Proverbs 18:24, it says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, I've heard all kinds of interpretations of this scripture, but I want to interpret it in the way it says right here. For a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly. So, brethren, we have to be friendly if we're going to have friends. If you're mean and nasty and arrogant and rude, you're not going to have friends. It's as simple as that. If you're going to be friendly and kind and concerned and considerate, you're going to have many friends. And yet it says, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. When we deal with changes and times, we need to reach out and be a friend that's closer than a brother. We have to reach out for those individuals. Now we can read about David and Jonathan. I think they had that. A friend that is closer than a brother. Ruth and Naomi, I think they had that. I think they had that closeness. Daniel and his three companions, I probably should mention them by name, but I'm going to move on. And one of my favorites is Paul and Timothy. I just get so much encouragement from the book of Timothy. Paul was like a father image to Timothy. And he was very, very concerned about stirring up the Spirit. He talks about stirring up the Spirit in Thessalonians and for Timothy. And he wanted Timothy to grow. Timothy was a young man, a young minister in the church, and Paul took him under his wing like a son. and develop a close relationship, a very close, that sticks closer than a brother. Brothers and sisters, we need to be like that. We need to be closer than a brother. We need to develop relationships, and that is what's going to help us get through whatever challenges, changes we're going to have to make in life. I mentioned about prayer, that's number one. I mentioned about strengthening your foundation. That comes right behind it, brethren. Jesus Christ and God the Father is our foundation that we need to rely upon. I mentioned about staying close to family members. And I hope you do that, even if we're thousands of miles apart, that we can pick up the phone. And I need to do better. My brother lives thousands of miles away. I need to talk to him and keep in touch with family members. We need to build friendships, not only in the family, but in the church, and as well as individuals outside the church. But again, the emphasis is don't let them pull you away. Let your example be for them. And one more, we need to give to others. And that's give time. Give our time for one another. You can read over in Acts chapter 20, verse 20, verse 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And that is so true. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And that is time. Time is one of the easiest things we can do. And yet sometimes we make it the hardest. I just don't have time. Brethren, make time. We all have to make time for others. Staying close to God is the key to our survival. That is the key to our survival. And we will thrive, brethren, even in perilous times. We will thrive if we stay and do these things. Changes are coming, brethren. Good changes. The kingdom of God is one of the good changes that's coming. What a tremendous blessing each and every one of us has the understanding to know that the kingdom of God is what we're all hoping for, we're all looking forward to. And it will be a change in the world, in society. They will all have the opportunity to know God's way of life. God's plan is for all of mankind. We have the opportunity now, what a wonderful blessing to know that we can trust in God and we can go to God in prayer. We can lay our foundation with Jesus Christ and God the Father. We can build close relationships with family members and friends, and we can give to others. That's how we're going to face the changes that each and every one of us are going to face. And they're coming. Brethren, let's be prepared for the changes. Let's trust in God, number one. He knows what's best for each and every one of us. None of us understand when we deal with severe trials. Why are we going through this? There are valuable lessons for every one of us to learn. God will give us nothing we can't handle. He tells us that. And so when we face a trial or we face a change, we'll be able to face it according to God's will.